Hi, this is Bridget Lynn Dolgoff, and you are listening to the Urban Farm Project radio show. We're going to be updating the webpage with new information, so go ahead and check that out. Also, our guest today is Kate Fotopoulos, and her brief bio is also on the webpage if you want to catch that. And so right now, we're just going to go right on into our interview with Kate. Hey, Kate, how are you?
Great, Bridget. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. So usually what I do in my show is I have people kind of go through like their brief history of life and talk about the tosses and turns in their life and where transitions have happened. So I'm going to go ahead and let you get started with that.
Well, that's a small topic there. I guess there's a couple different things from what I'm doing now, paths that have converged but started out separately. One is the healing arts and one is sort of the spiritual journey. Healing arts, I would say, kind of began with being born into a family where my dad is a doctor and my mom was a nurse, and I spent lots of time going in and out of hospitals and visiting and seeing what my dad was doing over there, and I ended up working as a medical reference librarian for a few years. And after all my experience in hospitals, I decided that if I were ever sick, that was the last place I would ever want to go, except for possibly a trauma emergency of some sort, which is what Western medicine is good for. So very early on, I started investigating alternative medicine possibilities ended up exploring different body-mind therapies, hands-on techniques, energy modalities, and that's kind of been my journey since probably the early to mid-70s. Now, that converged with the path of sort of spiritual growth and awareness, which pretty much started when I was 19. And took my first meditation class, a transcendental meditation, and decided that that aspect of spirituality, taking time out a couple times a day to just be quiet and connect, was very important in my life. And I ended up studying a variety of different Eastern philosophies and religions, and somehow all of these things wove themselves together over a number of years, along with visits to spiritual communities. Like I was at Findhorn in the late 1970s and had just a remarkable experience there of, I would have to say it was my very first experience of self-love that came through playing this week-long game of transformation that a lot of people may know of because of the little angel cards that came out of that game. So somehow in that whole process, something got awakened in me in 1978 that turned me in a different direction in terms of not being so outwardly focused on having to have people's approval and needing to make everyone happy around me, but more listening to inner guidance, because this game was very much based on having your angels speak to you. So that's just a tiny bit to let you know where I've been coming from. You have specific questions, I can answer more to a specific question if you have something.
Well, I wanted to talk about one of the things that I talk about on the show is points of time usually where people kind of awaken, and also where they're transitioning, you know, where there's different periods of transition that they find themselves in that they can recollect. So if you want to talk about a little bit about that, about transitioning, how you've transitioned, when you knew at different points in time where there was a transition coming, and maybe how you develop techniques for transitioning.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, you know, I think way back even to my childhood, I had some kind of a sense of being called into service, to, for lack of a better word. I just felt like I had a commitment to be helping people, serving people, teaching people. I always knew from the time I was a little girl that I wanted to be a teacher of sorts. And most of the work that I do, whether it's been hands-on work or counseling work or other energy therapies or things, has a large educational component, because I really believe in helping people to learn about taking care of themselves. But, so I think some of the transition points for me, one that I can recall specifically was when I was taking Course in Miracles classes at Unity Church in Boulder, Colorado, and at some point the minister came up and asked me if I would be willing to facilitate one of the ongoing classes. And I said, but I haven't finished the class myself yet. I can't do that. And he says, oh, yes, you can. I said, oh, no, I can't. Oh, yes, you can. So I got sort of slam dunked into becoming a teacher of a program and process that I was still learning myself, but it was, you know, my angel buddies have a very comical way of, you know, thrusting me into situations that I'm not totally prepared for, because they know it will make me work harder. And making the commitment to teach and facilitate the Course in Miracles made me study, experience, and learn it myself on a much more profound level, because I knew I was responsible to this group, and I wasn't just doing it for myself. I was trying to really understand it so that I could communicate it to another group of people, and that was a huge experience for me. I think before I had been exposed to A Course in Miracles, I've told people that on a 0 to 100 scale of, you know, what is your trust level in the universe, I was about a negative 637. Didn't trust anybody, anything, any way, anyhow, no situations. I just, you know, really felt kind of skeptical about whether there's really goodness in the world. And through doing the Course in Miracles, the workbook is set up so that you have lesson after lesson after lesson that helps you to examine what your limiting beliefs are, what your knee-jerk behavioral responses are, and offers you a different way of looking at things. And as I went through this workbook day by day by day, the evidence of not only a benign but a blessed universe with more gifts and miracles than I could possibly imagine just piled up so far that I couldn't pile up enough things to argue against it, and my attitude shifted incredibly, and I just became a very, very happy person, and really felt this deep abiding faith that as long as I'm doing the work that I'm here to do, everything in my life will be fine. Everything I need will be provided for me, all the resources I could possibly want will be here for me. And it was just a huge, huge shift. And, you know, I've gone from place to place, from job to job, just always having this belief that everything is going to turn out not only well, but perfectly and far better than how it would ever turn out if I were trying to figure it out, plan it all out, and control it myself. So I think that's been the biggest thing for me is just to let go. On my automatic signature on my emails that I send out, there's a quote from Michael Bernard Beckwith, and it says, "Do you want your life to be blessed or not? If you try to control it, you give up the blessing." So I'd say that's probably been my biggest awakening, is going from somebody who felt that she had to control everything in her immediate environment and beyond, control people, control events, you know, because I think if I can figure it all out, then it's all going to be good, to realizing that I just see a tiny, tiny, tiny percentage of what the big picture is, and I have to trust that there is an intelligence far greater than mine that is directing everything, and that if I just shut up and listen, that I'll be guided to exactly where I need to go and what I need to do and whom I need to meet. And it turns out so remarkably well that I'm just in awe of how beautifully that works. And it's taken me to a place where, you know, I basically don't experience anxiety or fear on a day-to-day basis. You know, maybe if I was confronted with something highly traumatic, you know, fire or whatever, there'd be some moments of anxiety in there. But I completely trust that everything is unfolding exactly the way that it needs to. And I just need to relax into it and go, huh, that's so interesting. I wonder what's next. So that's kind of been my life for the last many, many years. You know, interesting, what's next? So that's where I'm coming from.
Yeah, well, that's a good place to come from. So one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about was sound healing. And a lot of people out there, I mean, Reno became like a really big mecca because we had, I encouraged Judy Strauss to actually come out of the closet and start at the sleep shop doing the gong and stuff like that. And then I met you guys and we got you on the radar as well. And then Reno, I guess, has become like a mecca for sound healing, which is kind of surprising. You know, we're in the Guinness Book of World Records for the most tattoo parlors and bars per capita. So now I guess we're on the map, you know, of the U.S. for, you know, sound healers and the sound healers that are coming out. And we have Tim Glenn and a lot of them, actually, quite a few people. So when I met you, you guys had, I don't know how exactly how I met you, but right after I met you, you guys were moving into doing sound healing through bowls. And through like a type of prayer with it as well. You guys were holding intention and helping people to do intention. So do you want to talk a little bit about or a lot about whatever comes out about sound healing, that it's science-based, you know, lots of different things, what you can do, what you can't do with it, just from your experience and your experience of how it's helped people.
Well,
give us an idea of like the kind of setting it's into.
Sure. Well, this was another example of just being quiet and listening. I was sitting in front of my computer one day, I guess it's about 3 years ago now, and this little, it wasn't a voice, it was just a thought that came into my head that just said, Google crystal singing bowls. I'm like, okay, and I typed crystal singing bowls into the search bar, and up came these images of these incredibly beautiful bowls. I was stunned. I had seen and heard singing bowls that were either the metal Tibetan type bowls or the ones that I lovingly refer to as the Mixmaster set, the big white ones that kind of nest into each other. But the bowls that I was seeing on this website were completely different, and as I read about them, they were called the Special Alchemy Series. And they were made by melting down pure quartz crystal at very, very, very high temperatures, and then combining the quartz crystal, the molten quartz crystal, with various gemstones and minerals so that you could have bowls that were citrine and ruby and emerald and moldavite and platinum and gold. And so when these particular bowls are played, they generate not only a musical tone frequency, but also a vibration from their component ingredients. So if you're playing a bowl that's made out of amethyst and it has approximately an F tone to it, you're activating both the heart chakra, which is associated with the F tone, and also the crown chakra, which is associated with amethyst. so it's a very interesting type of vibrational work that's happening on different levels at the same time. So anyhow, after seeing these pictures and reading about the bowls, I found the 800 number on the website and called these people up and said, wow, is there any place in Reno that I can go see these? And they said, well, no, we don't have any place there. And I said, well, where are you guys located? And they said, Salt Lake. And I said, well, can I come in and visit your shop? And they said, well, we don't really have a shop or a warehouse. We wholesale to distributors. I said, well, what does it take to be a distributor? And they said, well, you have to buy so many bowls at once. I said, are you going to be there Tuesday? And my friend Jeffrey and I hopped into a van, drove overnight, ended up in Salt Lake at 5:30 in the morning, were in the shop by about 1 in the afternoon, and spent the rest of the day playing these amazing, amazing bowls, just being stunned by both their beauty and just there's something really, really elegant about how they bypass the rational, logical, linear mind because they're working strictly on vibration. And so you don't have to necessarily know what the issue is you're dealing with. You don't have to know exactly where there's something out of balance in your body or in your psyche and emotions or your mental state. You just need to surrender and let the tones wash over and through you. And it's kind of like, you know, when you're tuning a musical instrument, there's certain vibrations that the bowls emit that help to tune your body and your energy fields to bring them back into harmony and balance. And it's almost like magic. I mean, it's a crazy thing to say because there's lots of scientific principles behind resonance and how these energy fields work and interact. But when you watch a session, people, I'm thinking of one woman who came in and she just looked haggard. She had deep circles, dark circles under her eyes. She was listless. She was depressed. She was, you know, just like, oh, everything in my life is horrible, and I just can't get any energy going, and I'm just, you know, I don't like my work. I don't like my relationship. And we talked a little bit, but I find that the talking part is just more to help set intentions, you know, instead of going into the story and into whatever your trauma or pathology is, just go, well, you know, we've got an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours together. What would you like to experience in this time? And having the person set an intention of like, I'd really like to let go of the anxiety I'm feeling, just create space for some peace, some calm, some love to enter my being. I go, great. So let's just call in all the angels and do that. And then it's kind of an intuitive process. The bowls, it may sound funny, but it's kind of like they're little beings, you know, and each one of them has its own particular personality. And as one or more people are sitting in the room together to listen to them, there's some kind of communication that happens between the bowls that I see as, you know, these helpful beings that are coming in the shape of molded quartz and gemstones, and the people who are in the room, and the bowls kind of tell you what order they want to be played in, which bowls want to be played together, how long, how loud, how close to the person, how far away. And I completely trust that intuitive process. And sometimes people will sit up. Sometimes I'll have them lie down on a massage table and move around them. Sometimes we'll give people stones to hold in their hands or to put over their heart or to put under their feet or on top of their head while they're listening to the bowls. And something happens at a certain point. People's minds just shut off. I mean, at the beginning, especially if anybody has musical background, they're going, oh, let's see, that's an F, and I'm hearing the harmonics up above that, and da da da. And after a while, they just let go and allow the sounds to penetrate, to just move through them. And what happens is they get to this really quiet place. I've had people say that they've tried meditating for years and could never manage, you know, more than 3 to 5 minutes without monkey mind taking over. And when they're in the presence of the sounds of the bowls, they have no problem staying in that really deep meditative state for half an hour, 45 minutes at a time. So something about this process of hearing these sounds takes people down to a place where they can connect in with their own innate healing wisdom in their being. And I really do believe that, you know, we are self-healing mechanisms. We don't actually need intervention from, you know, people in white coats to be able to necessarily stimulate our healing process, that we were born with this mechanism that allows us to self-correct, to self-heal. And this is also part of what Ayurveda, which is one of my other disciplines, is all about. The Ayurvedic therapies work to help people get very, very quiet so they can hear the guidance that's being given them from their own higher selves, from their own intuitive place. And this is sort of where the bowls take you. And so somebody can walk in and be all bent out of shape, out of sorts. This woman that I was talking about, you know, we did about an hour and 15 minutes. And when she sat up from the table, she literally looked 15 years younger. I have no idea how, but the bags under her eyes were just about invisible. And she says, well, I don't know what happened, but I just feel lighter. I feel happier. And, you know, I can't really explain how that happens, and it might be different for each person. But I completely trust the process that by introducing these sounds and vibrations, people are able to get to a place where something just releases. And whatever it is that's been an obstacle and not a stuck place, you know, something, you know, that's not operating in its normal mode, they just dissolve. It just easily, effortlessly dissolves, and what you're left with is kind of like a clean slate that you can write your next step into the future on. So it's been quite a remarkable trip to see how people respond to these. And the same person can respond to the same bowl in a different way on two different sessions. Sometimes people go, oh, that's my favorite bowl, that's my favorite bowl, play that one. And I go, well, wait a minute, that doesn't feel like it did last time. And I go, well, because you're not the same person you were the last time you were sitting here with the bowls. And you'll respond differently because your energy field is in a constant state of flux. And so one day the citrine bowl might be what really does it for you, that just, whew, you could feel this flip happen when that bowl was played. And the next time it might be the platinum bowl, or the next time it might be a combination of moldavite and rose quartz. So it's been pretty, pretty interesting. And every single time we use these bowls, something new and exciting happens and is revealed. And it's just a great journey and learning process. And I feel very blessed to be sort of a guardian and one of the people who has been chosen by the bowls to play them, to use them, to introduce people to them. And it's been quite delightful and eye-opening. And we've been doing small sessions at the office here in Reno with groups of up to 6 people at a time. So everybody gets a lot of individual attention. And then about once a quarter, we do a large group, typically over at the Steinway Piano Gallery. And we do that as a donation basis fundraiser for some local nonprofit. We did a fundraiser for the Food Bank of Northern Nevada. We did one for Senior Outreach Services. We'll probably have another one coming up probably late September. Haven't picked the charity organization for that yet. But so there's different ways that people can come and experience the bowls. We do private individual sessions for people, you know, who have a specific issue they want to work on, or who just want to just come and just be bathed in the bowls and have, you know, personally directed, you know, guided visualizations and other work with essential oils and the gemstones and minerals and things like that. So,
are you guys doing any traveling for doing the bowl work?
We can do that, and we have been invited last year. We got invited to do something in Tahoe, which is not far away, but some people had a group over to the house that they had there, and we did a session for like 30 of their friends, and we'd actually be very interested in doing traveling. We were thinking about the model that some musicians use of doing house concerts, being invited to a home, and the people who are hosting the event invite a bunch of their friends in, and that say we would do a Friday night group session and then schedule private sessions for people over the next couple of days. So we're very open to that possibility of traveling to places and taking the bowls on the road, as you say.
So is your website still on the Temple of Higher Octave?
Yeah, the website is actually being reconstructed as we speak. We're trying to learn some new software to put that up again. But if people want to contact us, they can. We have a Gmail address that's templeofthehigheroctave@gmail.com if they want to get hold of us right away. But the website should be up, I'm hoping, fingers crossed, within the next week or so.
So with the bowls and the sound healing work, what do you think is the biggest change that it's made in your life? Maybe the biggest impact that it's had for you personally?
Wow. Well, the cool thing is, you know, whenever we're doing the bowls, we are being bathed in them at the same time, and it's like any good healing process. The person who is doing it gets as much, if not more, benefit from it as the people who are theoretically receiving it. I've found working with the bowls has just opened me tremendously to the whole field of vibrational energy healing work. And I know that I think my guides bring people in to be ostensibly worked on, who are going to elicit different vibrations and energies that are helping to heal me at the same time. So I just think that that's a blessed and wonderful side effect of playing the bowls and using them for therapy, is that I get absolutely as much benefit from them as all the people that I'm working with. So it's delightful.
Do you find that, you know, one of the things, like, I'm thinking about is, like, I mean, there may be a pattern, you know, like, emotional pattern, like, maybe people who have, chronic depression, mm-hmm. Are certain kind of bowls, do they seem to resolve that, or is it always an individual thing, like, each person's depression case, you know, requires a different frequency and a different crystal bowl?
Well, you know, as I said, people respond to different bowls in different ways. A lot of times they're the bowls that kind of activate heart chakra for people, whether they're by the musical tone or, say, rose quartz, as most people know, has a definite effect on helping to open the heart chakra. But also we use the essential oils, and there's an amazing essential oil blend that's called Joy. And they've actually used that to wean people off of antidepressants. So when you use some of the essential oils, when you use the bowls, you give people different stones to hold, that combination is really powerful in helping people release things and move out of a depressed state. And as I said, like with this one woman, she said, well, I don't know quite what happened, but I just feel happier and lighter. And she looked happier and lighter. And, you know, it's taking someone out of the downward spiral and starting them on an upward spiral. And as soon as you start feeling happier and lighter, then you attract more happiness and more light. So it's a really positive, self-reinforcing kind of a process. I think sometimes people just need to get that initial shift of energy, like when your car is dead and you just need somebody to help jumpstart your battery. So occasionally what I see is that these bowls just help to jumpstart that energetic field so that, you know, somebody can get over that inertia, that feeling of just dragging through the mud and everything's so hard and why does it have to be so painful? And as soon as they have that first experience of lightness and joy and sort of a feeling of trust or faith or something happens to just put that drop of positive energy in, it's like the biblical reference to, you know, if you have faith, you know, like the grain of mustard, the mustard seed. Sometimes the bowls just seed that positive, balanced energy into someone's field, and then that grows, and it just continues to blossom. There's also one of the bowls we use is a blend of rose quartz and a mineral called kyanite. And one of the properties of kyanite for emotional work is that if you happen to have some kind of a negative emotional pattern that you've established, you know, like you're a broken record. It's like no matter what you do, you keep attracting the same negative emotional situation into your life over and over and over. The kyanite kind of works to repair that little scratch in the record so you can move on through the grooves instead of just replaying that broken, scratched part. So, you know, that's one of my favorite bowls for some deep emotional release work and helping people to move on. I think a lot of times we just get stuck in trying to figure out, you know, why did this happen to me? How come this is always going on? Da-da-da-da. And ultimately, that's not helpful. I mean, you know, you can have all the insights in the world as to why something happened, but until you just make up your mind that, okay, as of today, I want a different experience. So let's do what we can to bring in a whole new energy and a whole new set of beliefs and to just switch over how we're spending our thinking time and our feeling time. And, you know, with people just leaving smiling and feeling lighter and happier, it's amazing how much that can do. And, you know, sometimes people will come and do a private session and months will go by and then they'll call up and they just go, I need a tune-up. You know, can I come see you again? And he's, absolutely. So it's gentle. It's very organic. And I believe that people go through a process of releasing and bringing in whatever seems appropriate at the time for the level that they're working at. Sometimes we're not ready to handle a huge cathartic kind of therapy session. We're just ready to deal with a little piece of it. So like this little bubble will come up and we'll go, ah, there's a little bubble. Okay, I'll release that. Interestingly, a lot of what comes up in sessions working with the bowls is just about forgiveness, forgiving people in our lives, and a lot forgiving ourselves. We are harder on ourselves than we would ever be on any other human being. We hold ourselves to ridiculous standards of achievement and perfection, and we continually beat ourselves up about everything that we do wrong. So there's several of the bowls and some of the stones, too. There's a beautiful stone called Dioptase that really is helpful for people when they hold it in meditation and do a kind of forgiveness mantra of sorts. and it's just bringing to mind any person, any situation where you feel that there's not been closure, that there's some unfinished business, that either you've hurt them, they've hurt you, or you believe that one of those things has happened, whether it has or not. And you just bring that person or situation to mind, and you hold that stone, you listen to the bowls, and you just say, I now release you from playing this role for me. Go in peace. And it's like you cut the string on a helium balloon and just watch it float away. And I did this meditation myself for probably an hour and a half one morning, starting with the biggies, you know, exes, family, you know, and then going back and just going, well, heck, there's probably been hundreds of people that I need to be forgiven by, or, you know, people that I don't even know that I have unfinished business with. And I just started going back from the earliest memories I had in my life, and one after the other, I now release you from playing this role for me. Go in peace. And I had tears streaming down my cheeks. It was just joy, just profound joy. And I felt lighter and lighter and lighter with each one that I let go of. And it's pretty amazing. You know, sometimes we think that we're the victims of circumstances in our lives, and we forget that, you know, we're directing this movie, and we actually hired the actors to come in and play these various roles for us. And sometimes they're hired to play the bad guy or the nemesis. And it's all because we need to go through this arc to get to the end of the movie. And, you know, we like interesting movies, so we want to have a little drama in there, and sometimes it borders on melodrama, but, you know, this whole process of release and forgiveness will, you know, allow us to step out of the melodrama and just go, oh, yeah, they were just there to remind me that I have issues about fill in the blank, and it's not about them. It's about them helping me to see where I'm still holding on to beliefs that no longer serve me. So, you know, no matter what the process is that we're using therapeutically, it's all about helping people to move out of limitation and lack and fear and anger and move into a place of really being able to accept love and joy and abundance into their lives, you know, to just get that sense of feeling wonderful and trusting and knowing that everything is unfolding exactly as it's supposed to. And we just haven't seen the last scene in the movie yet. And it's going to be a good movie because we're making it, and we can choose to have it be a good movie. So that's kind of where we run with all of these sessions, no matter what we're doing during the session or who's there. Just change the movies and have happy endings. And happy beginnings.
Yeah, no, that sounds really great. So I was just curious, like, have you noticed or seen any work, like, on plants, like house plants or any kind of plants that you may have around the areas where you're using some of the sound healing? Have you noticed any changes in the plants or...
Well, the plants seem to be pretty happy. I don't know that they weren't happy before the bowls came, but I think the vibrations affect all living things and quite possibly inanimate objects as well. You know, frequency is frequency, and everything is vibrating, whether it's, you know, the solid doorknob or some, you know, living, breathing being. It's all vibration. It's all vibration. We're all made out of the same stuff. So ultimately, if you believe it affects any kind of energy field, it affects all energy fields. And when we're playing the bowls, one of the things that we remind people of is the fact that even when your physical human ear can no longer hear the frequency that's been generated, that wave continues on infinitely. It goes out into space. It goes on forever. And it's the same thing with the waves we generate with our thoughts and our own resonant field. We don't even know how many people or creatures or plants or whatever we're affecting by our state of vibration. So anything that you can do, whether it's meditating, whether it's prayer, whether it's chanting and singing and doing mantra, whether it's listening to bowls, whether it's listening to just beautiful music that you really love. Anything that elevates your mood, your thoughts, your frequency is ultimately going to affect and ripple out onto everyone who crosses your path and everyone who crosses their path, and on and on and on and on, multiplying out in a geometric progression. And this is one of the reasons that so many groups, especially in the last year or two, I've seen just more and more and more groups are focusing on these joint connecting consciousness healing meditations, you know, at 2 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, everybody is going to try and think thoughts that will elevate the energies on the planet. And it does have an effect. People who are tracking subtle energy fields are noticing shifts from that. And I think all of us are just coming, especially in this year 2012, that so much hoopla has been, you know, generated about. We really are coming to recognize that we aren't separate minds. There are no separate thoughts. Every thought that we think affects everyone else on this planet and all of life. And so, you know, if each one of us consciously undertakes to hold the highest thoughts, the happiest thoughts, the most positive thoughts, and thoughts of connection and oneness with all of our brothers and sisters and animal kind and the plant kingdom, we are doing something that's going to affect the health of all of creation. And that may sound kind of woo-woo and global, but that's absolutely my belief and where I come from with all this work.
Yeah, I've always, one of the things that I always, whenever I see energetic shifts, and a lot of times when I've crisscrossed the country and I've talked to other people and their experiences, one thing I always notice it is usually in the plant world. That's kind of like where I notice, like, whether people have shifted or the energy in areas have shifted. There was a story that on this farm that I was on where the woman, there was a big healing that took place on this farm, and it was in the middle of winter. And literally, the tulips bloomed overnight in the snow, like thousands of them. And so that's why I asked, like, sometimes, like, visually for me and just other people that I've been around, when there is, you know, substantial vibrational changes in the field, and I believe it's in the astral field, that sometimes you can see it in the plant world around you, and sometimes in the animal kingdoms, it's less subtle there. Sometimes it's a little more subtle with people and cities and stuff like that, the vibration.
Well, and you can definitely see in the plant world where there are influences that negatively impact on health, and you can see areas where there are trees or bushes that have just wilted or died, and you can feel that there's some kind of stress and dis-ease going on there, and the plants reflect it almost instantly. You know, we as humans aren't, we don't often show our stress and disease immediately the way plants will just droop and go, oh my God, I don't have enough water, I don't have enough food. You know, we have coping mechanisms that we've built up, and so we keep going on far beyond where we should have stopped because we push ourselves to function in a level where we're not in balance. But the plants are just very, very sensitive, and animals the same way. Animals will show immediately when there's something off, and they'll respond immediately to positive shifts in their frequency. So you can see that very dramatically.
Yeah. So we have like a few more minutes left, and is there anything else that you want to add that you think is important or pertinent in this conversation, and any advice that you have for our listeners out there?
be happy, think positive thoughts. When you mentioned Judy Strauss earlier, she and I and some other people have been having some discussions about, number one, the possibility of organizing a Northern Nevada Sound Healers Association, because there are a lot of us here, but also several of us in this area and other states that I work in have this kind of long-range vision dream about starting some kind of a healing retreat center, sanctuary, school, someplace where people can come and receive healing treatments, can learn how to do various forms of energy work, can share their gifts with other people, can just, you know, have silent meditative retreat if they want to, but someplace that would have some year-round residents and then guest houses for people to stay in. And so that's a dream that's collectively I'm finding more and more people who have that sense about wanting to have some kind of community that's spiritually based, that has a healing component to it, that's educationally based, that's environmentally sound, you know, preferably off the grid, you know, really doing things that have a light footprint on the earth. So that's more of a long-range type of goal and something that we're focusing on. But in the short run, just keeping vibrations as high as you possibly can and sharing that with as many people as you possibly can.
Yeah, I think that's a really good goal to have. And, you know, don't forget about the plant life and
yes,
the animals. Gotta put them in there too.
Yeah, we bless them all. We bless them all and we thank them for being here with us.
Yeah, keeping us grounded.
Yeah, keeping us honest. They will keep you honest.
They will. Well, Kate, thank you so much for the interview.
Thank you, Bridget.
And I posted your email address on the webpage. It'll be up for a couple more days. So
okay,
if any listeners out there are interested in emailing you, they will. And okay, then also, what was the website or the Temple of Higher
Temple? Temple of the Higher Octave at gmail.com, and the Temple of the Higher Octave.com should be up and functioning, I'm hoping, in the next 7 to 10 days.
All right. Well, that sounds great. Well, I'm going to let you go so you can go ahead and
hang
up. Thank
you, Bridget.
And I'm going to finish the show.
Okay, great.
Thanks so much, Kate.
Bye-bye.
Have a great day. Bye-bye. All right, well, this is Bridget Dolgoff, and I'm signing off on the Urban Farm Project, and hopefully you were informed about sound healing, and thanks for listening, and in the future, I'm going to be working on some pieces to start the show with just different things, like astrological aspects that are coming, work in the shamanism arena, food for thought, and then we'll go into interviewing the guests that we have. Also, I would like to start bringing in some biodynamic information as well for you. So that's it. Thanks so much. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.